Allowing Israeli atrocities against the Palestinian people committed in all areas of Gaza Strip. And they believe clearly that all these massacres the Israeli occupation forces are still insisting on committing, not only here in Gaza Strip, but also in Lebanon or elsewhere in the region, actually unite the peoples of the region, particularly the Palestinian, the Lebanese, and the Iranian people. This means clearly that the axis of resistance for the Palestinian people here actually is still relentless, and it is still able to fight back and to deter the Israeli occupation, despite the cruelty and the brutality shown by the Israeli occupation forces against the innocent people, not only here in Gaza, as you know, but also in all areas of the region. So once again, it was astonishing and a historic night for the Palestinian people. And for the first time, the Israeli occupation forces actually appeared weak and fragile under these heavy retaliatory attacks carried out by Iran against the occupation. Let's be clear, for moments yesterday, the Palestinian people actually took respite from those ongoing genocidal attacks, and apparently they have forgotten about the ongoing massacres, and they were very confident that Iran and the resistance axis actually is still able to fight back and to carry out more staunch counterattacks against the Israeli occupation forces.
I'm curious, Mucha, to get your idea about how Israel is fighting on multiple fronts, because I've asked a correspondent occupied the West Bank the same question, as to you are seeing any weakening in their attacks in terms of their ground operations now, not via the air, and even via the air maybe, since they are busy with the Gaza Strip, with the West Bank, and of course Lebanon, to be the fronts that they're engaged in on the ground. Have you seen any change there?
Well, it has become abundantly clear that without having this unwavering support presented by the hypocrite U.S. administration, the Israeli occupation would never be able to carry out these attacks against multiple states, against multiple areas in the region. And this is very explicit for everyone else that the only thing that enables the Israeli occupation forces to carry out more brutal attacks and to wage more wars against multiple states and areas in the region is the staunch and the ongoing support presented by the U.S. administration. We are not talking about the military supplies. We are not talking about the weapons. We are not talking about the shipments of the U.S. And the American weapons and missiles. We are talking about all kinds of support, including the political support that is still apparent for everyone else. As I mentioned, the U.S. administration still gives the Israeli occupation the full protection and impunity it needs in order to do whatever it needs to do, as you know, in the region, particularly when it comes to waging the wars against the peoples in the region. No one would accept for these crimes to be committed, because, as you know, these crimes committed by the Israeli occupation forces vindicate clearly that the Israeli regime is nothing but a rogue state, and it is really above the law state. This is why it acts and behaves the way it behaves here in the region. We are not talking about, as I mentioned before, and as everyone else knows, that it's not about a military confrontation between the Palestinian resistance here in Gaza Strip and the Israeli occupation, and this operation and this war came as a response to what happened on October the 7th. Everyone has become confident and very clear that what is happening and what has been happening to the Palestinian people in Gaza is not about the Palestinian resistance in Gaza. It's all about the entire situation. The Israeli occupation forces are working on the ground by leaps and bounds to eradicate the resistance from Gaza Strip. And now, based on, as you know, on the unwavering support they have from the U.S. administration, they find that this is the opportunity and this is the suitable time for them to expand this genocidal war against the Palestinian people and to go furthermore in Lebanon and elsewhere, thinking and imagining desperately that they are able to change the status quo and to, as you know, to bring those resistance groups and the resistance movements on their knees for before the Israeli occupation. But this is not gonna happen because, you know, the resistance is still vibrant and vivid in the region, and the Israeli occupation forces, despite all of this kind of cruelty and brutality shown against the innocents, they are still, as you know, trying desperately to cover something about their fragility and something about their weakness in the region. And everyone knows this because these attacks are still waged and launched against the innocent civilians. We are talking about here in Gaza, roughly 41,000 Palestinian civilians have been killed. 70 or 80% of them were from women and children. The same scenario is being repeated and reiterated in Lebanon. The vast majority of the casualties left behind the ongoing Israeli attacks in Lebanon are from women and children and the innocent civilians. They are still using the same policy of attacking the residential squares and destroying the residential buildings and apartments over the heads of their residents. They are pushing the Lebanese people to evacuate and to flee their residential squares, like what they did here in Gaza Strip. So now they are reiterating the details and these measures they have, as you know, they have carried out here in Gaza Strip against elsewhere in Gaza and all the region.
Okay. The different areas of the Gaza Strip, also I'd like to ask you, in particular, if you want to take a look at the area where the Philadelphia corridor is, and also in addition to that, maybe a northern part of the Gaza Strip, where it was reported days ago at this point that this really regime wanted to pretty much bring all the civilians out of that area and to maybe proceed with trying to starve the Hamas fighters and the resistance fighters there. That was a strategy that was discussed by the Israeli military. I'm wondering if that transpired or not.
Well, as you know, we have more details unfolding every moment when it comes to Rafah City. The Israeli occupation forces are trying to wipe out the entire city. If you still remember that since day one of this coverage regarding the situation in Rafah, we have been documenting the situation, saying that the Israeli occupation forces have been destroying and, as you know, erasing more residential squares using the explosive devices. This is a vital part of the Israeli policy towards Rafah. They have been systematically based on, as you know, erasing and wiping out those residential squares, particularly when it comes to the southern part of Rafah City and those areas adjacent to Philadelphia corridor. The Israeli occupation forces are still trying to expand the so-called buffer zone they created in that area. This means that they are gonna, as you know, wipe out the entire area. We are talking about hundreds of the Palestinian residential squares that were completely wiped out of the map as a result of that policy used by the Israeli occupation forces. And we are talking about, this means clearly that hundreds of thousands of the Palestinian people became homeless and they have no places to return to if there was any opportunity for them to return to Rafah City. So this reveals clearly that the Israeli occupation forces on the ground, and by the way, this is the embedded aim of this genocidal war, that they are still trying to change the status quo on the ground. They are still trying to, as you know, to create a new de facto situation for the people here. They are still trying to divide the Gaza Strip into several sections and, as you know, divisions here. By having and maintaining the Israeli troops in the Netzarim corridor as well, which is meant to divide Gaza Strip into two separate sections and parts, the northern part and the southern part. And what is going in Rafah and in Philadelphia corridor means clearly that the Israeli occupation forces are planning to maintain a long-term presence of the Israeli occupation forces there. This is why they are building more streets, there are more roads, and they are initiating more as you know, watchtowers. They are meant to enable them to maintain their power and their control in that region. Needless to mention that they are still taking control over Rafah crossing, which means that they are cementing the grip on the city. We are now, for the Palestinian people, this is another form of the occupation for Gaza Strip. It means that the Israeli occupation force are trying to maintain a long-term military presence in Gaza Strip. We are talking about a real decisive moment for the Palestinian people here. Once again, the main problem for the Palestinian people here is that the Israeli occupation forces are still maintaining their attacks against elsewhere in Gaza Strip in the same ferocity and brutality. Let's be clear, for the Palestinian people, they are strong enough and resilient enough to cope with any situation under any circumstances. But the main problem that the Israeli occupation forces are still preventing any attempt of the Palestinian people to cope with the current situation. This is why they are still maintaining their attacks. If you still remember, these details that we are covering now, they are still the same since day one of this coverage regarding Gaza Strip, or regarding this genocide in Gaza Strip. Every day, every single day, we have more Israeli massacres being committed against the Palestinian people, more Palestinian residential squares being erased and detonated by the Israeli occupation forces, more Palestinian residential squares being hit and pummeled by the Israeli warplanes, more Palestinian people taking shelter in the tents, and the so-called humanitarian zones being attacked and killed by the Israeli forces. The Israeli forces are still using the humanitarian situation as another weapon of war against the Palestinian people. So it is the same situation, and we cannot say by any means that what is happening is completely relevant to the military objectives the Israeli occupation forces declared at the very beginning of this war. What is happening here is the manifestation and the textbook definition of the collective punishment the Israeli regime, trying to have here in Gaza Strip against the Palestinian people.
All right, I got another question before you go. It's always a concern when we were seeing how the Palestinians are struggling to get medical attention. We are still looking, obviously, at ones who are either wounded, who don't have, where the hospitals don't have adequate medical supplies to tend to them, including the ones that are brought in. Can you tell us what's going on in that front?
Well, actually, we are talking about layers of suffering for the Palestinian people, if we want to talk about this aspect, because, as you know, the Gaza health sector is completely collapsed, and it is really suffering to cope with these unprecedented situations and conditions. This has been systematic for the Israeli occupation forces since day one of this onslaught on Gaza. They have been systematically putting those health facilities out of service. They are still preventing the medical supplies and essentials to enter into Gaza Strip, and this increases the suffering of the Palestinian people, and this actually complicates the situation for the Gaza health sector to cope with the current situation here in Gaza Strip. Needless to mention that the Israeli occupation forces are still attacking the Gaza Strip, and every day, with every Israeli airstrike hits any area of Gaza Strip, we have dozens of the Palestinian casualties left behind those ongoing and ceaseless attacks. And as I've mentioned, for example, over the last night, we have at least 70 Palestinian civilians have been killed. And we are talking about hundreds of the Palestinian civilians were wounded and injured. Many of them are more likely to succumb to the wounds they sustained due to the severe shortage of the medical supplies they need in order to, as you know, to handle or to heal from their wounds and their injuries. So it is really catastrophic here when we are talking about this situation. And let's be clear that a significant percentage of the Palestinian people who have been killed in this genocidal war actually were killed of the severe shortage of those humanitarian and medical supplies, because they didn't get the medical care they needed in order to, as you know, to manage to survive as a result of those circumstances they went through. So the kind of situation is extremely difficult and dire, particularly when it comes to the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital here, for example. We are witnessing these details, and we are documenting every tiny detail of the suffering of the Palestinian medical staff here. And as you know, every day, every moment, we have more appeals released by the Gaza health sector, warning that the current situation is on the verge, and it is gonna collapse here in the Gaza Strip, unless there are any measures taken in order to rescue the situation here.
One of the pieces of breaking news that we're reading here is how over 60 people have been killed in Israeli strikes on homes, gatherings of people in central southern Gaza since Tuesday night. Is that accurate in terms of the number that we're reporting here?
Yeah, we have reported that at least 70 Palestinian civilians have been reportedly killed. 35 out of them were in Khan Yunis, according to the swift attack that was carried out by the Israeli occupation forces. We are talking about a blitz attack carried out by the Israeli tanks, Al-Fukhari, Ma'an, and Al-Salam, in addition to Al-Manara areas in the eastern part of Khan Yunis, were subjected to a blitz attack carried out by the Israeli occupation tanks on the ground, supported and armed with Israeli warplanes that have destroyed dozens of the Palestinian residential buildings over the heads of their residents. And this is why we are saying that dozens of the Palestinian people are still believed missing under the rubble. This is the least number that we have, according to the medical staff. And according to the civil defense crews, that they believe that dozens of the Palestinian dead bodies are still missing and trapped under the rubble because, you know, they don't have those equipment and those tools they need in order to discover and extract those dead bodies from the rubble. So, yeah, the last night was bloody for the Palestinian people, as I've mentioned. And on the other hand, when it comes to Gaza, at least 25 Palestinian civilians were reportedly killed after the Israeli occupation forces targeted two facilities taking shelter by the displaced Palestinians in the western part of Gaza. And in the eastern part, they destroyed a residential building over the heads of the Palestinian people there, killing at least 10. And in the central area, we have at least 10 Palestinian civilians. They were attacked and killed while they were taking shelter in Al-Sawarha school and near Al-Zawaida town in the middle area of Gaza Strip. Yeah, it was a vicious night for the Palestinian people, actually.
Thank you very much for that, Muti. We do appreciate it. Muti Abu Saba there from Dera Bala, a correspondent. Thank you so much for that. Let's take a look at our next focus here, which is Lebanon, and see what we have for you on that front. In terms of the most recent news to have come out of the Lebanese, skirmish that took place with Hezbollah fighters and the Israeli regime forces, it appears that the Israeli regime has taken a beating there based on reports, including our correspondent who in the occupied West Bank, who indicated that there were a number of injuries that happened for the regime forces. Maybe our correspondent, Mariam Saleh, can give us a better idea as to what happened there. Well, Mariam, we understand that there has been this, if you want to call it a ground invasion, although you can tell us where that stands and also the number of injuries and or fatalities when it comes to the Israeli side of things.
Yes, Kavi, well, it definitely seems that the Israelis have begun attempts of what seems to be an incursion, not actual ground invasion similar to what we saw, for example, in 1978 and 1982, when it seemed to be easier for them to be able to enter. They said that they had elite forces at the border that were ready to enter and conduct what they called very specific operations, perhaps to try to fight or to try to attack and target specific areas of Hezbollah, and specifically the elite forces of Hezbollah, the Arad 1 force. That's their main objective, to pull out and push those forces away from that area, in addition to targeting also the anti-armor force for Hezbollah, which has been the main side that has inflicted heavy losses upon the Israelis throughout the time of the support front for the sake of Gaza. We learned, of course, that the resistance not only stopped or has been targeting the mobilized forces and all the localizations, specifically in various areas of different points. But we also know that last night or in the early hours of the morning, for the very first time, there was an ambush for what could have been a commandos unit. It's not only one of the normal units or the ground forces of the Israelis. It would seem to have been a commandos unit, and the commandos units for the Israelis are the elite forces that usually conduct such operations, where they probably want to go and try to conduct certain operations against Hezbollah's forces on Lebanese territory. Hezbollah said that they were able to spot that and that they had an ambush ready for those forces, and for the very first time, direct face-to-face clashes occurred in that area, which is right facing the town of Al-Daisi. The Israeli media, I'm not sure if Nakat was able to get from the Israeli media exact numbers. What we are getting here is that we know that so far there is an official declaration and admittance from the Israelis that 5 Israeli soldiers have already been killed. And this is perhaps the very first time when the Israelis admit openly to that number of Israeli soldiers being killed all at once as a result of the clashes with Hezbollah. And we know that there were many others, at least 20 soldiers among the killed and wounded, and many of them were transported with helicopters to the Azif and the Rambam hospitals in Safat and Haifa. And so we can probably even expect that the number of Israeli soldiers killed in those clashes alone to be quite high. There were also other incidents where Hezbollah said that they targeted the areas where they know there are localization of the mobilized forces that are ready for this ground invasion. As you know, one of their significant units of the Israelis and the divisions, 98th Division, was brought from Gaza all the way to the Lebanese southern border in order to begin what they are saying is a ground invasion. So up until now, we do not have any Israeli soldiers on Lebanese territory, but there seem to be certain attempts. That Hezbollah seems to have gone to a next phase, which is making sure that they're inflicting heavy losses even on those invading forces that are attempting to enter. The last attack that we know of was a direct targeting of the base of Zar'id with Katyusha rockets, and Zar'id is also one of the bases that was targeted previously by Hezbollah and one of the areas where the Israeli forces are mobilized. That we have some reports coming out from also from Lebanon as a result of the sounds of the clashes being heard, and even from Israeli media saying that there is also seemingly another attempt of infiltration facing the town of Ayfa'un, and that was also met with clashes and direct confrontation. Of course, we need to verify that, but this is just coming just now. We also know that Hezbollah targeted another group of soldiers with artillery fire in the area of Kiryat Shmona, as well as Miskabam, and basically all of the northern area just adjacent to the border with South Lebanon. So it has all been transformed into a very large military base by the Israelis. And so Hezbollah is making sure to target all these areas as much as they can. We can expect also that there are very precise hits by Hezbollah. Hezbollah also said that they targeted ground troops that were in the Miskafam area, also with rockets. And we saw that there was also another targeting in Shula of the soldiers and in the barracks of Shumera. That was, of course, in addition to that ground combat facing Al-Daisi, where Hezbollah was able to successfully, I think, conduct that ambush and lead to this much casualties among the Israeli soldiers. Previously, Hezbollah had issued a statement stressing that the footage coming out from the Israeli army, saying that they were able to confiscate certain arms and maybe some rockets, and that they were at the entrance of what they called was a tunnel for Hezbollah, and that they were even able to basically destroy a big portion of those tunnels. Hezbollah said very clearly these are old footage, and these are just fabricated lies. There has been absolutely no entry to any tunnel of sorts, or they have not confiscated anything. But of course, we can expect maybe in the upcoming days that the Israelis might enter certain areas. And it is only normal for when there are clashes that Hezbollah strikes in one area and leaves that area, and they perhaps would take hold of whatever is left in that base. That is only normal when it comes to military confrontations. But those footage specifically, when they claim they were in a tunnel, is quite reminiscent. It reminds us of what happened in Gaza towards the beginning of the invasion, especially in the Al-Shifa hospital, where they claimed that there was an area where they kept the prisoners and so on. And so the Israelis are still using fabrications and baseless issues and videos that are just fabricated to try to say that they have been able to achieve something in South Lebanon. But up until now, we can say that we heard from South Lebanon was the sound of fire against those Israelis. And we know that many of them were taken to the hospitals within the Israeli regime. Of course, the issue of these clashes comes at a time when Hezbollah has basically went through two phases or two parallel lines of resistance. They have their ground combat, which they're waiting for, and the continuous targeting of all the forces all along the border, in addition to the Khaybar operations, which seem to be a separate issue, where Hezbollah is launching rockets towards the center of the Israeli regime, specifically the surroundings and the suburbs of Tel Aviv. We don't know if Hezbollah will continue with that today, but they said this is in light of a series of operations, and so it was not just one retaliation for the assassination of Hezbollah Secretary General Saeed Hassan Nasrallah. That seems Hezbollah will continue with a wave and a new campaign of continuous operations and launching of rockets towards the center. We know that yesterday, Hezbollah was able to strike Tel Aviv, and despite the blackout from the media, there was clear evidence that one of the main highways that links the center, which is in Tel Aviv, towards the other areas, the Highway 60, as we know, was completely disrupted and blocked. And that is perhaps the very first time when Hezbollah enforces upon the Israeli regime to completely block and close that highway and make people use other areas. Now, we know concerning the strike on the from the Islamic Republic of Iran, the retaliation for the assassination of head of Hamas Political Bureau, former head of Hamas Political Bureau, and the assassination of Hezbollah Secretary General Saeed Hassan Nasrallah. The strike yesterday, of course, the Israelis have been trying to downplay what has happened, the U.S. as well, but the images are a very clear example of what has happened. We also are getting some news, some reports from Zionists within the Israeli regime saying that at least 100 settler houses were either damaged or destroyed in the area north of Tel Aviv. And that is, of course, some of the very few minute information that we can get, since the Israelis have definitely cordoned off a lot of areas, especially the center of the intelligence facility, which includes Mossad and the 8,200 unit, which Hezbollah also targeted yesterday, in addition to the other military bases and airports where the Islamic Republic of Iran specifically said that they targeted and destroyed F-15 fighter jets as well as F-35 fighter jets, but the F-15 specifically because it was used in the attack on the southern suburbs of Beirut and the assassination of Hezbollah Secretary General. And so I think that all of these issues are linked together also with the fact that we have the Yemenis beginning with a new round of operations, and they said that this will not stop until the genocide in Gaza stops and the siege is lifted, and of course Hezbollah and the aggression on Lebanon stops as well. Now, there's also a lot of apprehension on will the Israelis enforce a siege from the sea. We know that the fact that the airlines have canceled their trips to Lebanon in and out is because of the threat that could occur, and that the Israelis could target the airport, the Beirut International Airport, and that there were strikes that were close to the airport. We also know that the Israelis have used warships in specific times, especially in the first round of shelling on the southern suburbs of Beirut. However, we do not have, up until now, a siege from the sea. However, it is not clear whether ships could go in and out. There are talks that there were some evacuations being done from some ports, perhaps not in Beirut, but further away in Tripoli. The ports can be functional and can assist in the evacuation, for example, of either Lebanese or other nationals who want to leave the country. Now, we have news coming out that there was another strike on the southern suburbs of Beirut. Usually during the day, there's a specific period of time when there aren't clear shelling on the the southern suburbs of Beirut. So this shelling in the area of Swayfet is something which is a precedent at this time. Most of the shelling occurs, or the assassinations occur at times that are closer to towards the end of the day or in the middle of the night. Yesterday there was some heavy shelling also in specific residential areas. And we know that in one of those areas there was a supermarket and restaurant, and it was only residential apartments that were within that complex, nothing military, nothing for Hezbollah, not even an office or political office that was in that building, based on what we know from that specific building and that specific area and neighborhood in the southern suburbs of Beirut. Now, it's not clear what they targeted right now, but we know that it was a fighter jet attack and not a drone attack. Usually drone attacks are used when they want to target and assassinate a specific figure. As we know, yesterday, the Israeli strike struck two different residential buildings. Of course, there were civilian casualties, which we do not have a final number for, but that was the result of an assassination of two Hezbollah members in the area of Beit Hassan, which I also stress once more is a diplomatic mission, an area where you have a lot of diplomatic missions and embassies, and also a lot of media offices. And so that is also another blatant violation from the Israelis against all rights and all freedoms. It's like Ramadan, so that means from the Israelis, they're trying to say that they can target anywhere, even if it means killing civilians. That doesn't seem something that is stopping the Israelis from continuing its aggressions on Lebanon.
Taking a look at the game plan that the regime forces have had based on the I guess somewhat of a defeat that they have had in the first, what we understand, skirmish into and foray into the Lebanese territory. What do you think will happen there for them to regroup and to go back to what they're doing?
I think it's going to take time for us to be able to see the repercussions and the results of the endeavor of Hezbollah. But if we're looking at just the first day and first attempts of incursions have been met by heavy resistance, we can expect that we can have a lot of battles that could probably be not over all the areas and the border, but perhaps maybe specific areas that they could probably try in from more than one border point to try to enter and begin with these incursions. There are also other attempts and possibilities that the Israelis can actually use air commandos and their parachute units to strike and try
Mariana,
to...
I'm sorry to jump in. I do apologize for that. We have Sid Mohammed Miranda, university professor and political analyst from Beirut, with us. And due to time restraints, we want to get the most we can out of him. Sid Mohammed Miranda, welcome. I'd like to get your reaction as to where things stand based on the successful operation that Iran executed, which did not target civilian areas from what we understand, but it was specifically targeting military sites, showing the way that their approach is when it comes to this. What are your thoughts on this?
Obviously, it was very successful. I was just on Sky News, and they were behaving like some pure propaganda machine, and their journalists were trying to pretend that nothing happened and that this was a victory for the Israeli regime. Quite absurd, actually, but I think it reflects the fact that this evil regime was hit very hard. Unlike the evil Israeli regime, the Iranians, as you pointed out, targeted critical military structure rather than a civilian infrastructure. Last night, as I'm sure you know, and I'm sure many of your viewers know, the regime targeted many apartment blocks in southern Dahiyeh, very close to here. The sounds of explosions could be heard throughout the night. They're trying to destroy the southern part of Beirut. And the Western media really doesn't say much about it, because now the Western media is more openly a foot soldier for genocide, the foot soldiers for genocide, for the Holocaust, and for Zionism and racism. And I think they've been exposed to everyone. I think all young people in our part of the world and in other parts of the world, those who are a bit politically aware. They've come to the recognition that the West is not civilized. It's just simply not civilized. They are, the people, of course, are subjugated, just like the West subjugates people elsewhere, but the regimes are barbaric, and they're just as bad as the regime in Israel. There's no difference between any of them. They are in this together, and collectively they're destroying themselves because the world is looking in shock, and many of their own people, many people in the West are looking on with shock. But also the humiliation yesterday, I think, is in itself very exceptional. It will be a wake-up call to the West that they are no longer in control of this situation. They're no longer in control of West Asia, and their empire is crumbling before our eyes. And if they make the miscalculation in the hope that they could reassert their power, they will be hit much harder, and the regime will only be further drawn towards collapse.
All right, let's cross on over to Iraq, Baghdad. Navid Behrouz, Press TV's Navid Behrouz joins us now to tell us perhaps about the reactions there from Iraqis to have witnessed what they witnessed when it came to how Iran targeted occupied Palestine and the Israeli regime. What do you have for us on that front, Navid?
As soon as the missiles were fired from the Islamic Republic of Iran towards the Zionist regime and the missiles hit the targets, there was a wave of celebrations across Iraq, and the Iraqis were very happy, even though it was at the end of the night, but there were rallies and gatherings and families almost in all the streets of Baghdad were present, and even some officials, including MPs, took part in the rallies and gatherings that were all indicative of this, their joyfulness and joy and their support for the Islamic Republic of Iran. And the members of parliament also participated in these gatherings in other provinces, in the provinces of Basra, Nasiriyah, Amare, Babel, Karbala, Najaf, Divaniyeh. Almost all Iraqi provinces, we witnessed people's participation in rallies and celebrations and the support for the Islamic Republic of Iran, and they voiced their full support for these retaliatory attacks by the Islamic Republic of Iran. And that was an act of, they considered this as an act of revenge with respect to what happened to the people of Lebanon and also the martyrdom of the chief of resistance, Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, and the people did voice their full support. Speaking of the resistance front, all resistance groups, including the Najaba movement, Kataib Hezbollah, Saib Ahl al-Haq, they all released separate statements, and they offered their congratulations, and they voiced their readiness to continue operations against the Zionist regime. And they emphasized that these attacks by the Islamic Republic of Iran can act as a game changer to the benefit of the resistance, the axis of resistance. The Iraqi Islamic Movement, the Coordinating Committee of the Iraqi Islamic Movement, also released a statement stating, voicing support for the missile attacks, and has emphasized that in case the United States or the Zionist regime engage in an act of response to the attacks, and if they target the territory of the Islamic Republic of Iran, in such a case, the Iraqi resistance will stand in the face of these attacks and will hit and target U.S. bases in Iraq and the region. That was a serious warning by the Iraqi resistance that in case of an attack by Israel or the U.S. against the Islamic Republic of Iran, the Iraqi resistance will hit U.S. bases. We know that there are at least three American bases in Iraq. There is the Victoria base in Baghdad, also Ain al-Assad bases in Anbar. And in the past few months, we have witnessed a calm atmosphere. That was because of an agreement between the Iraqi government and the United States calling for the evacuation of U.S. troops. So there was a calm atmosphere prevailing. But with respect to the statement that has been released, in case the U.S. continues support for the Zionist regime, or in case the Zionist regime attacks Iran, and if the U.S. uses the Iraqi airspace against Iran, that will lead to a strong response by the Iraqi resistance. Of course, we do know that the Iraqi resistance is continuing its attacks on the Zionist, against the Zionist regime. There were at least five attacks yesterday carried out by the Iraqi resistance that included drone attacks and missile attacks using Al-Aqrab missile. It's a modified type of cruise missile, and it hit targets in the Zionist regime and also Eilat port and other parts of the occupied Palestine were hit. And the attacks by the Iraqi resistance have not stopped, but the last night's warning is a new one. It is actually addressing the United States. It's a serious warning. Officially speaking, the Iraqi government does support diplomatically and provides medical aid, provides humanitarian aid. That process will continue by the Iraqi government. The fifth humanitarian shipment, a medical shipment, was sent to Lebanon yesterday. The Iraqi premier has had several phone calls and conversations with his Lebanese counterpart. He also spoke with Mr. Nabih Berri yesterday. The Iraqi government does support measures by Lebanon and condemns the crimes committed by the Zionist regime in Lebanon and has voiced support for the Lebanese government and nation. The Iraqi government has said that its borders are open for the Lebanese people, and there are bases along the Syrian border to welcome the displaced people, so to welcome the war-stricken people. So there is the full support of the Iraqi government and nation for these, for what happened last night, and there has been celebrations across Iraq.
Thank you for that. Let me talk to you, Sayyid Mohammed Marandi, about the breaking news that we got here and ask your reaction to it, where you have four regime forces that have been killed based on the ambush that they did and the confrontation they had with the Hezbollah fighters. This clearly shows from the onset that they are on a weak footing. What do you think?
We all remember that Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah warned the Israeli regime that if they set foot into Lebanon, they would pay a heavy price. Hezbollah has been preparing itself for 18 years, and the Israeli regime has been drunk for a few days. They thought that they had scored a big victory. In my opinion, they made a catastrophic mistake. The Iranian punishing retaliation was one element of that. The second is that they've made Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah and Hezbollah and the resistance iconic throughout the world. The coming days will be deadly, but I have no doubt that the Israeli regime will be soundly defeated. And it is only ensuring its own demise as a result of the crazy and outrageous slaughter and the defeats that it has faced on the battlefield, whether in Gaza or on the border with Lebanon.
If you were to make a prediction here as to how this will stop, what would be a reason for the regime to not continue with the way that it's attacking Lebanon, and ultimately for this genocidal war to stop in the Gaza Strip? Is it because the U.S. does not want that to happen as its main backer and for it to continue?
By supporting this genocidal regime, and so is the collective West. The world, as I said earlier, sees them for what they really are. But I think the only way that the situation will change will be when and if there's a coup in Tel Aviv and Netanyahu is removed from power, his allies betray him, form a new coalition through American pressure or for whatever reason. If that change takes place and he's brought down, then probably the next prime minister, knowing how the country is going down the drain, will possibly move towards a meaningful ceasefire. But if there is no ceasefire, then things are going to spiral downwards for the regime. And even if there is a ceasefire, that would mean a catastrophic defeat for the regime. And I think many Zionists will become disillusioned. The regime is in a dead end anyway, and it will come to an end at one point. And ultimately, we are going to see throughout Palestine human beings all being treated equally. Christians, Jews, Muslims, all of them will be treated equally, and there will no longer be what the West wants to impose on the region, a chosen people, a higher race, a master race. That will come to an end.
Thank you very much for that, Sayyid Mohammed Marandi, university professor, talking to us there live from Beirut. We do appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. We're going to continue to talk to Navid Behrouz from Baghdad. Navid Behrouz, taking a look at how there have been these strikes coming from the Iraqi resistance groups, you said that there was not as much, based on the announcement that was made in terms of the drawdown by the U.S.-led coalition. But now things, I think, are different, right? What do you foresee there?
The Islamic Republic of Iran's missile attacks has been a game changer to the benefit of the resistance axis. There are various dimensions in this regard. Militarily speaking, the attack that took place last night, based on images that have been seen by the whole world, and also statements made by the Islamic Republic of Iran's military and political officials, 90 to 95% of the missiles have hit their targets. This is an important message for the Zionist regime and the United States that Fateh missiles have the capability to actually penetrate all the defense systems, the aerial defense systems, and has the capability to directly hit the determined targets. This can bring about a strong deterrence and this can somehow make the Zionists and the Americans think twice before taking any idiotic action. So This is the military dimension of the issue. On the other hand, speaking of the axis of resistance, the attack showed that the Islamic Republic of Iran will always remain a supporter of the resistance front, contrary to the propaganda ballyhoo in the past few weeks, claiming that Iran has failed to support the resistance front. But last night, the Islamic Republic of Iran showed that it's quite determined to stand by the resistance axis and manages the resistance front. A more important message is that with last night's attacks, the Islamic Republic of Iran will continue to stand firmly. And if the Zionist regime trespasses the red lines, the Islamic Republic of Iran is ready in case of a full-fledged war. And the Islamic Republic of Iran will proceed and deal with the consequences. This indicates the Islamic Republic of Iran's military capabilities and the political decision adopted by the Islamic Republic in supporting the resistance axis. This has brought about positive reactions in Iraq. It's been quite inspiring, and the attacks have boosted the morale of the members of resistance front. Now, speaking of the weapons and the distance from the Zionist regime and the capabilities of the forces of the Iraqi resistance, the Iraqi resistance has a great deal of experiences in combating American troops and liberating the lands of Iraq, the Iraqi soil, and has been involved in a guerrilla war. So you see that the forces of Hashd al-Shaabi have been the outcome of this war. So the Iraqi resistance, in addition to being a jihadi force, is also a capable force from the military point of view. So if these capacities are used, that can be quite a game changer to the benefit of the resistance axis. The Islamic Republic of Iran's retaliatory attacks last night